And a very pleasant good evening here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Bud, you had me on camera, then you... Okay, it's good.
Which one it was?
The camera that we should use is the one that shows my face.
Which one?
The one that shows my face, not the back of my head.
Which one's that?
Take a look at the thing, man.
Do it right now, you idiot. Call me an idiot. You're the one
that... He's the one that what?
He's...
Yeah, see, he doesn't know. You're about to blame him for something he didn't do.
I just want to know what camera.
The one that's showing my face, man. See that? That's me. That's the camera you use. Boy, bud, don't ever go into TV or anything, man, because if they ask you to direct something, you're going to have the back of some guy's head.
Yeah, but, you know, well, I better not say.
Yeah, don't say.
I know what you're going to say, and if it was the right kind of if it was,
it was a girl.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, so thank you very much for that very adult beginning. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Tonight we're going to be talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we're going to be discussing with Ted contretemps at a competing steakhouse. And this is something that occurred in Nashville, Tennessee. I'll give you the particulars on it. But essentially, a man suffering from cancer came into the restaurant wearing a ski cap. The ski cap was required for this poor gentleman because of the kind of cancer that he was being treated for, needed to keep warm. He needed to keep himself warm. And, of course, I think it probably is more to the chemo, Margaret.
Well, yes, he lost his hair, and so he's wearing a ski cap to keep the head warm as the result of that.
And not only that, but he's in a weakened state, right?
Yes.
And what happened was... I guess many restaurants do not allow one to wear a head covering, and naturally, you can understand that, except for the fact that this man was suffering from a debilitating illness and obviously needed this. So there was extenuating circumstances, we like to say, in this world of ours. Let's get Ted Bell on the line here from Ted's of Beverly Hills to comment on this.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
I'm still very, very happy and proud to comment on tonight's controversy or tonight's topic. Remember to come on into Ted's of Beverly Hills because the football playoffs are heating up, and we'll have them there in the bright red room. And especially since I know that Joe Dickhead is...
Joe Dickhead is on a bit of a turn that off, bud, before I go. Joe Dickhead is on a sabbatical.
Why is that?
Well, he hasn't been doing too good.
Did you fire him?
No, I didn't fire him. He's decided to... He's not on a sabbatical. He's taking a week off. He's going to be back next week. But, yeah, he sucks.
No, Joe Dickhead ain't got anything right.
Let me tell you something. Can I just tell you? I've been betting against him. I've been using his picks, and I've been betting the other way. And was it 2 weeks ago? No, it was last week I started to make some money. This week I was counting on it wasn't there. The week before I got my rear end handed to me. Pardon me, Margaret, and any ladies in the audience for the language that I'm using. But I got my rear end handed to me on a silver platter, and I was it didn't work.
Well, I didn't tell you to do that as a surefire thing.
You intimated that if I had a problem with it, all I had to do was bet against it.
I said, if you got a problem, try betting against him if he's so bad, and he is bad. But then he went that 1 week 12-4, you know?
Yeah, and as I said, I got my rear end handed to me. It's almost as if somebody found it out in the street and said, excuse me, is this yours? Because you dropped it. What is it? Your ass? You see what I'm saying, Phil? It's not the kind of, in other words, because I have money doesn't mean I like throwing it away.
It's not my fault, Ted. It's not my fault. I'm sorry, but it's just not my fault. Now, let me take a look at this story here.
I'm not saying it's your fault.
In a manner of speaking, you are.
Ted, it's Margaret. How are you?
I'm real good, Margaret. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to know about Marcy. She's doing well because I'd gotten a call from her that apparently she was stalled over at the Beverly Center.
She was what?
I got a call that she needed a ride from the Beverly Center.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. I bought her a Range Rover, and it's a push button, and she didn't know anything about it. She had an old Mercedes, and I got her a Range Rover, and you started by pushing a button, and she's looking for the key.
Well, I said to her, what she said, I can't start the car.
Well, yeah, but how did she get it over there? You know?
How did she get it over there?
I'm assuming somebody at the dealership started it for her, because she got all the way over there to go shopping. She comes out, and she can't start the car. Now, I went over to the dealer. I said to the guy, did you teach her how to... He said, how to do what? I said, how to start the car. He said, when I came out, the car was gone.
So she jumped in the car.
What's that?
She jumped in the car?
Yeah, she jumped in the car before the guy could show her anything. She goes, oh, okay, thanks a lot. She gets in, she drives off, and when she gets over to the Beverly Center, she's got no, she can't, she doesn't know what she's doing, you know.
They give you a key.
They give you, it doesn't look like a key.
Well, I'm not familiar with this, so it's a push-button type of ignition.
Yeah.
All right, can we talk about this later on?
It's fine. You know, after she called you, she called me, and I said, why didn't you call me first? And she said, I decided to call Margaret first because I figured she was closer. I said, I'm in Beverly Hills. She goes, yeah, but you're never really there at the restaurant during the day. And I said, well, where am I usually? And she starts talking about Hollywood Park. Now,
well, you said you're going to be over there because this is the last week.
You know, I got to tell you, I would rather not that get out. That's all I'm trying to say.
You would rather? Okay, we're wasting a lot of time with this, all right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You're over at Hollywood Park for the week. Why?
I don't want to talk about it.
Let's not talk about it, all right? I mean, it's the...
God, it's the last week that the park's going to close.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, oh, well...
So you're over at Hollywood Park. That's all right, man. It's the last week that the track is going to be there, and you're laying the bets down. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, and then I realize that it's not open. Hollywood Park isn't open until the spring, but it's closing on the 22nd. I don't know what's going on.
What the hell are you people talking about, man? Oh, you know,
I wanted to find out if she got home all right.
Yeah, she got home fine.
All right, so in any event, we're talking about the...
Oh, don't shake your head, Phil, like it's a big pain in the you-know-what. You knew what I was talking about.
No, I didn't have any idea what you're talking about. I got no idea what you're talking about, you know, and I don't know how people, quite frankly, I don't know how people can be so dumb, okay?
Well, I mean, come on, Phil.
No, I don't know how people can be that dumb. All right, so Morton Steakhouse, Ted, this is a place, as you know, in Nashville. This is the restaurant in Nashville, Tennessee, that happened to be the subject of some contretemps over the weekend. Morton Steakhouse is coming under fire on social media for allegedly kicking out a cancer patient at the restaurant's Nashville location on Friday night.
Hold on, can we guys close the door? Okay. What are you making? What is that? Is it dessert? Okay. Go ahead.
By the way, when you're going to be on the air, why don't you just tell them to, you know?
I don't worry, Phil. I do. I tell them, but they always leave it. I said, close the door. They leave it open. Close the door. They leave it open.
All right. So anyway, the patient, Robert Chambers, was attending a Christmas office party held by a Tennessee shopping channel where he hosts a show called The Coin Vault.
Oh, here we go. This is a part that I didn't know anything about. This is the part that I didn't know anything about.
Hold on.
I didn't know this guy was on television.
All right, hold on. This is the guy. This was the cancer patient.
Yeah, and he hosts a show on a TV. Oh, man, that's some dirty pool right there.
Hold on. After dinner, Chambers felt cold and put on a beanie on his head, which was apparently a violation of the restaurant's dress code. The chemo I had last gives me a cold sensitivity at the end of the day. It doesn't matter what I've done. There's a certain point, Chambers told NashvilleScene.com. So I'm sitting there at the table freezing, and I put my toboggan on. We're 2 or 3 minutes away from walking out, and the manager comes up behind me and says, would you please take that off in the dining room? And I said, sure. The restaurant's dress code says nothing about hats. It only suggests men wear business attire or smart casual wear, such as a collared shirt and dress pants. Other guests dining with Chambers said he tried to explain his medical situation to the manager, who allegedly said that the gentleman should bring a doctor's note or call ahead so that he could be seated in a private dining area, according to Fox17.com. After the incident, a few of the other diners wrote about the experience on Facebook and Yelp, claiming that the entire group was asked to leave and that Morton's called the police, according to Newsert. Morton's national office tried to deal with the beef by posting on the page.
Yeah, and I saw what Morton's put on the page. It was very nice. They said they're aware of the situation. They're trying to make things right with the customer. We appreciate the concern, but that didn't stop people from posting all kinds of nasty comments, all kinds of self-serving stuff. See, people, I don't think they care one bit about this guy Chambers. I think people just like to complain, and I think people just want to be upset. Morton said, we're sorry. And I'll tell you something else. This guy Chambers is on TV. Now, doesn't that tell you something about what this guy's motives are?
Well, no, it doesn't tell anything about his motives. I don't hear him saying anything that's particularly self-serving.
Except for the fact that the guy's on television. Okay? He's on television. So, you know,
Well, is this some kind of a conspiracy theory, you think?
No, it's not a conspiracy theory. I'm just saying that the guy's on TV, and I bet you he was milking it for all it was worth.
Well, look, if the guy's got cancer, he's got cancer. So if he's got, you know, he has cancer...
Then he's got cancer.
Then he's got cancer.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm saying, if it, in other words, he's not making it up.
No, he's not making it up. But, hey, what's that, doctor? I have cancer, huh? Boy, that's rough. You know what, though? I may be able to turn this to my advantage. Why don't I go in for the chemo today, and then we'll make reservations for a steak dinner. If I got the beanie, I'll have that. If I get cold, then they'll tell me to take it off. Perfect. Let's go. Let's make the reservations. I mean, the guy could be...
You think people are that calculating?
Yes, uh-huh. A guy on television? You better believe it.
So the guy says, why don't I go ahead and have the chemo today? That way I'll be cold tonight at dinner.
No, he didn't say. I'm not saying that.
Well, what did he say then, Ted? Did he say, I think I'll go in and have my chemo today and look for a problem?
I think that the guy saw his cancer as an opening to a public, you know, to some sort of a publicity coup. That's all I'm saying.
All right, we're going to be back here with Ted Bell. I have to take a break here. Our number is 855-500-7445. The guy who was asked to leave Morton's, a cancer patient, he put on a wool cap and was asked to take it off because it violates the dress code. This was immediately posted on Facebook. People started weighing in and saying that Morton's was out of line, and Morton's is this and Morton's is that. Now, Morton's has said, we're sorry, we didn't mean for this to happen. I think there's a couple of ways of looking at this.
What was you talking about after the break?
Yeah.
What do I talk about? What do you mean?
Because we're late for the break.
Yes, okay, everyone.
Well, don't get all upset there. You just got to get going.
Yeah, okay, I'll talk about it after the break. 855-500-7445. You listen to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Shop for Christmas in our online store. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Go online and shop for Christmas in our online store. Get a backstage pass, gift subscriptions available there as well. And we are just, I'm told, just days away from being on TuneIn. So what I mean by that is that there will be a individual Phil Hendry Show an individual Phil Hendry Show link or however it's done there, man, you know.
Well, you should have.
Don't get the information about it, and we'll tell you all about it.
Right, thank you. We do need the information on that, and we'll tell you all about it. Within a few days, we'll be on TuneIn. And soon to come, live streaming of our radio show on our website. All of this is as a result of us wanting to make sure that we are getting to as many of you as we possibly can with our radio show. So if we can make it available on your smartphone as a live stream that you can listen to via our website, on our mobile site, by God, we're going to do that. Ted Bell is with us. Let's get back to Ted, and we're talking about the Morton Steakhouse contretemps from Friday night.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
I'm down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'll tell you something. I'm glad my name isn't Morton. But I said true story. They were going to name me Morton, and it's a long...
Here at Ted's.
You were going to be named Morton.
No, I wasn't going to be named Morton. I thought it would be a story I could tell.
Were you going to be named Morton? Hey, what's going on with that, bud?
Oh, that's the player you're using.
God, that blew my ears out. Blew my ears out.
Okay, are you all right?
No, I'm not all right. Ow. Ow.
Oh, will you knock it off?
Well, it was loud, you know.
Why is that happening?
Don't count a player we're using.
Well, stop that Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle before it kills again.
Oh.
Quit it, will you?
All right, look, no, my parents were not going to, they weren't going to name me Morton, thank God. Thank God they weren't. But I wanted to get this story like that going. I would be, you know, for our press relations and just as an interesting little side, we were going to put on the menu. And did you know that Ted was almost named Morton by his mother and father? Yes, it's true. Ted Bell was born in XYZ year, and Ted attended UCLA, which I did attend. I'm very proud to say I went to UCLA. I'm a self-made man. I'm a man who has a successful business. I'm well-known in the city, and I went to UCLA, not USC. So how do you like that? Oh! What's so funny?
What's just the whole, oh?
Most of these guys are USC grads, and they think it doesn't smell. In fact, they don't even, not only does it not smell, but it's like patchouli. It's like that stuff they put on a toilet tank. What do you call it stuff?
Oh, yeah, it's the it's like patchouli. No, it's not patchouli. It's the bouquet of the little, I don't know what it's called.
What do you mean? It's a
bowl of, like, leaves, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bowl of leaves and stuff that they find. You put them outside?
No, they don't go outside and collect them. It's a very specific kind of a collection of fragrant leaves.
Yeah, okay, great.
So the toilet doesn't, you know, well, I shouldn't say, but, you know, so the toilet doesn't stink it out.
Right, I understand. All right, so your mom and dad were going to name you Morton, but they didn't.
No. I said it was total bullcrap. I made it up, but we were going to put it on the menu. Ted Bell, the owner of Ted's of Beverly, you're now in Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know all that bullcrap they put on menus? And we're no different. We're not above lying. And
all the stuff they put on menus are lies, huh?
Most of them, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What?
What? Look, Dickman, I can't take you to school right now, but most of that stuff is complete horse dung.
Wait. When I go to a restaurant and I read about the family that started...
Yeah, all of that is horse dung. No, they don't pay. Oh, the family came over from Italy, and here's Mama's rest. Are you kidding me or something?
Well, how do you know, Ted?
How do I know? Are you trying to tell me that stuff's true?
Do you have on your menu your bio?
Yeah.
Is it true?
No, it's not true. How could I put this stuff on my menu that's true about my life? No one would eat in my restaurant, Phil. No one would come near my restaurant. They'd get if they ever had been eating in my restaurant, they'd go immediately to the health department and get shots. Why would I want to put the facts of my life, spill it out onto a menu? No way.
Good God, Ted, I don't know. What are you talking about?
I'm not going to talk about it. That's the whole point. If I wanted to talk about it, I'd put it on my menu.
All right, well, I don't want to know.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for bringing it up, too.
I mean, I don't know that I brought it up. We were talking about, you brought it up. You were talking about Morton.
I'm talking about my folks almost named me Morton, but they know they didn't. I was making the whole thing up.
All right, let's get back to Morton's, shall we? At Morton's Steakhouse, a cancer patient...
Who's also a local television host.
All right, he was a local television host. This man put on a cap because he was cold from the chemo treatment he'd been receiving. He was told to take the cap off. It became an issue because apparently one of the diners confronted the restaurant over it.
Well, that's the thing that happened, Phil. But the gentleman himself was fine. He said, no problem, I'll take the hat off. But I really do believe that there was something going on with the fact this guy's a television host and he wants to get some notoriety. So his wife, I think she's the one that went and started pushing around some poor maitre d'. You know, understand, I love these people when they start complaining about their treatment in a restaurant. It's as if these poor, put-upon people, oh my goodness, you know, you don't have to eat there. You can do anything you want. But the fact is the gentleman was fine. He was going to take the hat off. Now his wife sees an opportunity for this to become a media event and maybe kick this guy's failing career in the rear end.
Well, let's not talk about it. You don't know his career's failing.
Oh, the guy's the host on the Coin Vault on a shopping... Yeah, okay. Yeah, whatever you say. So,
Well, what difference does it make? The guy is on television, whether he's got a failing career with a successful career. This touched enough of people's nerves to become a story. So the whole idea of whether or not this guy thought he was going to get a career opportunity out of it is a moot point, I think. I think the point is this dude had cancer. The restaurant, I asked him to take the hat off. They didn't know.
Yeah, they didn't know.
Okay, they didn't know. He said he would. I think the wife then, or someone then, said, hey, wait a minute, he has cancer. He should be able to put it back on. I think they said, and then they went according to the book. And every time anybody goes according to the book at these franchise restaurants, it's always a disaster for the poor employees involved. All they're doing is trying to do their job, and they're trying to do things by the book. And that's what they were doing. And it became this big event.
And that's when the reason why it became a big event is because Baldy, excuse me for saying it, but Baldy...
Ted, the man has cancer.
Baldy...
Why do you insist on mocking this guy?
Because the guy's on television. He's on television. Do you understand? That changes everything for me. And this guy, the reason why it became an issue is because this bald-headed guy made it an issue, him and his wife or whoever, and they made it into a media event. I'm telling you right now. And I think that it would have been solved, and it would have been solved in a very beautiful way, and everybody just backed the hell off. I'm Ted Bell. Cue the music.
Oh, we have to take a break.
I know. When I say I'm Ted Bell, is that I'm not allowed to do that?
Okay, let's just break. Thank you, Ted. We'll be right back with Ted Bell here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. No, you can do it, Ted, if you want. We just didn't have your jingle ready to go. We don't play the jingle going in, do we?
No, not usually. You don't play it going in.
Well, I don't. I think the cynicism. I think the never mind.
We'll be right back, Phil Hendry Show. It's the Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Ted Bell from Ted's Beverly Hills online with us. And we're discussing with Ted the Morton Steakhouse in Nashville, Tennessee. Let me ask you, Ted, and this man that was asked to take off a beanie that was keeping his head warm as a cancer patient, and they said no. They said take the beanie off. And even though he did, other members of the party, there were 16 people there, made an issue to the point where it became a very, very bad bit of publicity for Morton's. Let me ask you, Ted, before we get any further into, I know you wanted to give an opinion on that.
I want to continue my opinion on it. It's like I've been on for 20 minutes. I've been given my opinion. By the way, just one thing, because during the commercial you were talking about the California Dream and California Adventures where they had the Smokey the Bear hat, and you were laughing with Nikki about the fact that you tried to get a Smokey the Bear hat. And I actually tried to do the same thing, but I didn't think it was funny, so I don't know what you thought was amusing. We wanted to purchase 20 of these for our servers as a celebration of Governor Brown, who was coming into town. We were going to host him for a dinner, and we wanted to have Smokey the Bear hats, and we had one guy in a bear suit as a mascot, because that's the California mascot, you know, the bear, you know, Phil?
Yeah, I know.
Well, what's with all this silence?
Well, I don't know about Phil, but you were going to put everyone in a Smokey the Bear hat and a bear-suited man for Governor Brown.
Oh, look at this. So that's not classy enough or something?
I don't know. I mean,
it's no, not to me it isn't.
Well, thank you very much, Margaret, but I guess you know what, let me check. No, I wasn't asking your opinion. I was asking Phil a question.
Ted, there's no reason to be rude. I thought it was strange.
All right.
Ted, you said why the silence. I was waiting for you. I didn't find it particularly weird.
Well, I did. The governor of the state comes into your restaurant, and you've got everyone in a bear outfit.
No, I said one guy in a bear outfit.
Mr. Bell, he said one guy in a bear outfit. Did say everybody.
Everybody had a Smokey the Bear hat.
Everyone had a what?
A Smokey the Bear hat. What are those hats that Smokey the Bear wears?
I know the one you're talking about. It's the hat. Everyone knows what it looks like. It's that hat. Cops wear that.
Yeah, exactly. The cops. I guess the state cops wear them because Smokey the Bear was officially a state trooper. Not a state. He's a bear. But he wore a hat because he was a state employee.
He's a bear, Ted. I don't think he's an employee.
Excuse me. Not the bear. The one that's on TV.
Hold on. Everybody just hold on for a minute.
The one that's on TV.
Hold on. Smokey the Bear was a little bear cub that was found after a forest fire. And he was alive, and he was a little bit singed, but he became the symbol of an effort of conservation in this country. He was a real bear. He was a little guy, this little bear cub, okay?
So wait a second. Now I'm confused, all right?
Are you listening? Smokey the Bear was actually a bear cub.
Well, then who's the one? What's the one they got on TV?
That's a symbol of that bear. That's a symbol of that bear.
What?
All right, never mind.
No. All I'm asking is I tried to get these Smokey the Bear hats, and they said to me, yeah, we got about 15 of them. I bought them. Just like you said, they were too small because they didn't have any adult size. And I had employees walking around with hats that were just propped on top of their heads that were too small, while Governor Brown, the governor of our state, was sitting eating my steaks, and a guy in a bear suit. And at one point, he said to one of his aides, is this a clown act? What are they doing? Well, you know.
Ted.
It was very embarrassing. I can tell you it was extremely embarrassing.
Well, you know what, man? What do you want me to tell you? We got to take some phone calls here.
Wait. You're just going to blow it. What do you want me to tell you? You screwed up, and I just let you just pour your heart out on the air, and so let's go to a phone call. Thanks a lot, Ted, for entertaining us with that story that ripped your guts out.
No, I'm saying, what do you want from me, man? You had people wearing hats that were too small and a guy in a bear suit with the governor coming in. You know, I mean...
Thank you very much.
You want to call him back?
Do I want you to call him back? I don't know. We'll think about that one.
He hung up because he was embarrassed.
He hung up because he's talking about a Smokey the Bear hats that had nothing to do with this Morton Steakhouse problem, which was this guy with the cancer. And, you know, if Ted had hung around, he might have heard me say, you know what, Ted, I think you may have a point. I don't think there's anything wrong with questioning the motives of this guy. Because, look, if the restaurant says, hey, we're cool and we're sorry, and obviously this is a local matter, but we're going to make it right. You know, I think that should be good enough because people make mistakes. This is the day and age we live in where you have these company policies that rule the local restaurant. Some people are going to say this.
Well, they should use their common sense.
I understand about common sense, but you got these young kids. They don't want to get fired. They get this stuff drilled into them morning, noon, and night. You got to do it this way. This is the company way. You better do it this way. And if it doesn't do it this way, you're going to get fired. You know, they don't want to lose their jobs. This whole thing about company, you know, use your common sense. And then the other aspect of this is that people just like to bitch. And I saw all the stuff on Facebook, and I saw all the comments there on the Morton Steakhouse thing, and...
Yeah, everybody's all bitching about it.
They do. People like to bitch and moan and complain. You could go to them and say, we're very, very sorry, we didn't mean to... That's exactly what they said, and people are still bitching.
Yeah, you put the Beverly Hills on there.
Yeah, I know. I saw Ted put his logo there. We'll go to a phone call. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Here is Gary. Hi, Gary. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, folks, that coming up later on, we've got Margaret Gray. Margaret, are you going to singing this?
Well, we're going to do an example of the improv, yeah.
Gary, how are you?
Hey, Phil. How are you doing?
Good.
I wanted to tell you about an incident that I had in the restaurant here in Southern California. That when something that I'm never seeing as long as I live. And the reason is because I had an altercation with a member of a local high school football team when the kid came in.
All right, now you are having a... I can't... It's tough for you to... It's tough for us to understand.
Oh, I know that. This is a result of me being the story I'm going to tell you. I'm a cancer patient.
You're a cancer patient.
That's correct. I was sitting in the restaurant, looking over here at Full Buffet in the Valley.
What is it called?
Full Buffet?
That's right, in the Valley.
In the Valley.
That's correct, yes. And a high school football team come in.
A high school football team.
Right, high school football team came in. And I see the kid, and I go, hey, football, and they went into the Heisman mode.
You said football star, and you went into the Heisman pose.
Correct.
All right.
The kid came over and hit me in the mouth and knocked and cut my teeth out. I'm lacerating inside my nose and attacking my nose.
Knocked a couple of your teeth out, lacerations inside the mouth, and fractured your jaw.
That's right. And...
So the way you're talking, he got nothing to do with the cancer?
No. The cancer, I have bone cancer.
You have bone cancer. It's nothing to do with the way you're talking.
No. The thing I'm talking is the guy hit me. Okay? And why? Because I was trying to be friendly.
Well, when you say you're trying to be friendly, so what you did was you said football star and you went into the Heisman pose. Now, couldn't the kid have taken that to mean that he was being mocked?
Well, no. Somebody said that, man. How do you hear that? I mean, where are you going in there? That's thing weird, you know? You're thinking, I wouldn't write my own name. And all I want to do is say
You know, it's very difficult to understand you, right? But basically, you're saying you were not trying to mock the young man. You were saying football star, and you went into this Heisman pose. Why wouldn't the young man think that you were mocking him?
Well, what was he mocking my name?
Because it's not exactly, if you really think that the football, hey, here come the football players, how are you guys doing? Great job, you know, great. Give them a thumbs up. You talk, I don't know. Maybe the kid was in a bad mood.
Oh, anyway, in a bad mood? You're a man, right? You? And so anyway, right then you
go. Hold on, what is this, Ted, or Bud?
Ted, I just... Ted, done.
So why do I get the music?
All right. Hi, this is Ted Bell, and I am now back officially on the Phil Henry Show with my opinions. Again, this is Ted Bell, back officially on the Phil Henry Show with my opinions. My opinion coming up shortly.
Are you in here?
Yeah, hold on for a minute. Hey, when you put Ted on the air, you don't just hit the jingle.
No, that's Ted's introduction.
That's my introduction. I don't go on your radio show anymore without that.
Oh, well, excuse me. Am I supposed to have trumpet players and stuff?
Yeah, I've been listening to him for a long time.
What? What'd you say?
I've been listening to him for a long time.
All right. I know you have. I'm going to let you go, okay, Gary?
Well, who's the guy? What's your name, sir?
My name's Gary Walton, and I've been listening to you for a long time, man.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I knew you were wrong.
All right, thanks very much, Gary. Ted, you know... The idea of this guy, the idea of this young man, this man being thrown out of the restaurant because he had cancer. Not because he had cancer, but because he was insisting on wearing his... What are you doing, bud?
No, that's my fault. He's supposed to play that when I'm about to give an opinion.
Turn that off! Why are you playing that?
Dude, he's going to give an opinion, isn't he?
I'm going to give an opinion! So why wouldn't he play that if I'm going to give an opinion? Do you understand what I'm saying? This is part of the new deal that I thought I'd worked out with you.
Every time you're going to open your yap and give an opinion, that's supposed to play?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay? Yes. I'm Ted Bell. And here comes my opinion.
Turn that off. Thanks, Ted. Hold the line.
Oh, now you're in for it.
Oh, great. Whoever told you to do that, we're not going to do that. You understand?
Well, Mr. Hall.
We're not going to do it every time I give an opinion. All right, we're going to be back here on the Phil Henry Show with more, and I'm sure Ted will be giving some opinions, but guess what? We don't have to listen to that now, do we? No, we don't. 855-500-7445, online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And, of course, we are, as I mentioned, going to be on TuneIn. Very, very shortly. So to listen to the show live, all you have to do is go to your TuneIn app and you will have the Phil Henry Show there for y'all. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And with us, of course, is Ted Bell from Ted to Beverly Hills as we continue discussing this Morton Steakhouse contretemps. And we haven't really gotten anything of substance here in the last hour.
Don't give me no hand-me-down world. Hey, this is Ted Bell. Listen, I don't know what kind of problems Morton Steakhouse is having, and frankly, I could care less because business is good at Ted's of Beverly Hills. We don't take cancer patients and make fun of them, not at Ted's.
That's not fair, Ted, at all.
What do you mean that's not fair?
That was a little harsh, don't you think?
Well, you know, you people are something else. One minute, you don't like the fact that I'm not taking up for the cancer patient. The next minute, you don't like the fact I'm not taking up for what do you call it? The what's the name of the place?
Morton's.
Yeah, Morton, the restaurant. I mean, what is it with you? I'm trying to play both sides of the street here to see. I'm trying to feel the audience up or feel them or whatever you call it. And
no, I bet you're trying to feel the audience up. Yeah, I bet.
Oh, well, get you, man. Score that one. You know, Margaret, if it wasn't for the fact that I am a purebred gentleman, you and I, we'd mix it up a little bit. I mean, hands would be thrown, there'd be blood.
I have no doubt about that at all. The point that I make...
Oh, you're just blowing that off. So a fist fight with a man, you got no problem with.
No, Ted, not with you.
Wait. What is that supposed to mean?
Look at Ted. If we're not going to talk about the topic that you came on tonight to talk about...
Whoa. This woman says she doesn't mind throwing hands with a man?
No, Ted, I grew up... My father took me to the fights. I grew up punching out guys from an early age. You don't scare me.
Wow.
All right, grow up, will ya? Now, we're talking about Morton's Steakhouse.
Yeah, I know.
Don't start being a baby about it, all right? Now, Ted, you got about as much maturity mentally as a newborn infant. I can see you beginning to obsess over the fact that Margaret said she'd have no problem in a fist fight with you.
No, it's all right. I mean, you know, I'm married to a strong woman. I'm married to these women that love to break blankety-blank. They love to break your
balls. Oh, my God. Phil, I am not going to sit in and listen to this.
Well, you know, I mean, that's what she loves to do. I just saw that movie the other night, Carnal Knowledge. On parade.
Okay, I guess what we can do is conclude this, that Morton's Steakhouse is making it right with this guy, that a cancer patient is a guy that should be, you know, treated well or not, I don't know, and that people have every right to complain, and good luck to Morton's, because Ted's of Beverly Hills is making money.
Pretty much, yeah. But I will tell you this, at Ted's of Beverly Hills, if a guy comes in and says, I need to wear my beanie because I have cancer, and because I just had chemotherapy, and because I really want to be able to, you know, enjoy my dinner, and I don't want to be uncomfortable, I would say to the guy, "If you would you please put the beanie on?" And I'd look at it, and at that time I would make the judgment. Because how do I know? If the guy is sitting there wearing a beanie, and he looks ridiculous, and he's in one of my main dining halls, what do I do with that? What do I do with that when I've got people coming in, and they want to sit down and have a meal? And they want to be able to keep their food down, and they're looking over here to their left, and there's a guy at the end of the table with a beanie on in a wheelchair. It's the kind of thing, to me, it would put me off my meal.
Nobody said anything about this guy in a wheelchair.
I don't think the man, you could tell the man had cancer at all, other than the fact that he was bald.
Oh, yeah, other than the fact he had no eyebrows, it was fine.
Well, Ted, I mean, you're talking again about appearances here, which is exactly what Morton's is talking about.
But I would be a little bit, I wouldn't be by the book. See, that's the beauty about being a one-restaurant operation. The server can come and get me, because I'm always there. Rarely am I not at my restaurant. I am there because we open for lunch. We close after dinner. I'm there every single second. I'm there when we're counting the receipts. I'm there for everything. And if someone says to me, hey, boss, we've got a patron out here. They've got a beanie on, it looks asinine or whatever. I came out one day and a guy had the exact same kind of thing, only it was one of those wool caps that had a ball on the end of it. It looked like something that Ebenezer Scrooge would wear, you know, with the...
It's like a nightcap?
Is it a night? One of those old school nightcaps?
Yeah, you put it on the head and it hangs down in the back with a ball, a fuzzy ball on the end of it. I said to the guy, you know, okay, so... Is it Halloween? No. I said, "What? Which Santa Claus are you working for? The guy that's at the North Pole? Is there a franchise that's been opened down here? Ha, ha, ha." And the guy, you know, gave me a middle finger and continued eating his ice cream. And so I didn't say anything. And I said, finally, somebody said, well, he's got cancer and he's wearing that hat because it makes him feel better. I said, does it warm him up? He said, no, it just makes him laugh when he looks in the mirror. I said, why does he have to wear it? Never mind.
What are the two of you laughing at?
What he said.
I'm going to go to the bathroom, and when I come back,
nothing will change, Margaret. You can go to the bathroom a million times, and it'll still be the same radio studio and the same show.
Pretty much.
When you decide to take over your own show, you let me know.
All right, Margaret, don't be so freaking serious about stuff. So, Ted, Morton's Steakhouse, I'm sure, will recover. They've got a wonderful restaurant out here in Burbank that I have often gone to.
Oh, well, the Burbank operation is beautiful. Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. It's downstairs there in the building there in Burbank, yeah. Now, Morton's is going to live, and they will live and prosper, and no one's going to care about the Nashville restaurant, some guy in a beanie. I think this is an opportunity for a bunch of sad sacks on Facebook that couldn't afford to go in and get an appetizer at a Morton's to cry and complain. Now, I did see a couple of these comments. I'm a VIP customer.
What is that? Do you have VIP customers?
I have, yes. We have in the prime rib room, we have a couple of areas where our VIPs, we have two large rooms where the VIPs can go and have cigars, brandy, if they want to bring in music, if they want to bring a couple of some entertainment of a female. I'm not saying anything about that other than if they dance or something. And
what do you mean, dance?
If they bring in...
You don't have to... Less said, the better.
Yeah, the less said, the better.
Well.
So we have a couple of those rooms. If you want to call them VIP, go ahead, call them VIP. If you want to call them anything you want, I don't care. We've got those. I don't go out and advertise it. I'm not like Morton's. I'm not looking for VIP. You know, the less people know about our VIP room, the better, because then we don't have a lot of people hanging around asking if they can be VIPs, because I don't need that. So I would just simply say, Phil, that the Morton's, Ted's of Beverly Hills, if you've got cancer, come on in, and it's taken on a case-by-case basis. We'll put your beanie on. We'll take a look at you. If it's a tough, tough sell, if it's something that's going to be rough and rugged for me to get through the night on, I'm going to have to wheel you out.
What do you mean, wheel them out?
Well, I'm going to assume if they're coming in on some wheeled conveyance, it's either...
Hold on. I'm back from the toilet.
Oh, that's great. Hey. Right, she's back from the toilet, everybody.
And, no, not everyone with cancer is on a wheeled conveyance.
Well, all I'm saying is, Margaret, is if you have cancer and you come into my restaurant and you're bugging people and you disturb people and you look disturbing. You understand what I mean by that? You are disturbing people. You look disturbing. You are bizarre, weird, and disturbing. You get wheeled out. You get wheeled out as fast as you got wheeled in. Now, that's just all there is to that. And as I said to Phil earlier, I don't want it to be that way, but I will not have a bald guy with no eyebrows and a beanie. No way.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
So what are you laughing at?
We'll find out, bud.
Hello.
It ain't working. It ain't recording. Good news. Tomorrow we may not have a podcast because we got more technical problems here. World famous Phil Henry Show.
You won't have a podcast. People are going to be very upset.
It's the way it goes, man, because I got to get some things working around here. You know, we got to get this Audacity record feature. I had WaveCart for the longest time, and for some reason, if you have a studio... you're always in danger of something going wrong. So we were going to have you sing in Sleigh Ride, Margaret, but we can't do that because we don't have the music.
Well, I can give people the general idea of what I was doing. I don't necessarily need the music, although it would be better.
Yes, it would be better. I'll tell you what, we can play it live, and I think we do have it live, but it just, I don't know.
Well, why not do that? Because what I wanted people to know, I've gotten an awful lot of people. This is the holiday season. And may I?
Yeah, go ahead.
While Phil dials that up, as we say in the industry, dialing, oh my God, what happened to her?
That's investigation done to discovery.
I know that.
Never mind what's on TV.
Sorry. So,
she looked totally normal to me.
Never mind what's on TV. You're watching it?
Go ahead.
So anyway, I was at this gig this weekend, and I was singing at a place called Mental Mike's. It's called Mental Mike's because Mike, he's a very extreme man. Mike Balpole is his name, but he is going into a psychiatric center now for good because he's scaring people. But we had a big send-off for him on the weekend, and it involved me singing. I did a couple of sets. I did my anti-Christmas set.
Now, people should understand you're an atheist, right?
Yes, I'm an atheist, but it doesn't mean that I don't like Christmas. I love Christmas. But my anti-Christmas set was because of these dumps that Frank has been booking me into. That's a completely beside. I don't want to go into that right now.
We don't have time to go into that, but Frank and you have had an issue about some of these clubs that he's been booking you into. I understand that. You went and did this gig at Mike's this weekend as a part of a send-off, but you also were doing some improv lyrics?
Yes, this is something that I invented. You've heard of improvising melodies. I improvise lyrics. Why? Because lyrics, at the end of the day, are important, but they're not that important. The melody is the most important thing. And sometimes the lyrics of a song are disturbed. Phil was using the term disturbing. I think, and I know that he was joking, but I think the lyrics to certain songs can be very, very disturbing.
No, talk about Sleigh Ride, though.
Yes, I know I'm talking about Sleigh Ride.
By the way, where is General Shaw?
Yeah, coming in a few minutes.
The whole hour the guy hasn't been here.
Oh, we didn't tell you?
No.
Now, he's coming in a few minutes. He was doing some... he's finishing... He builds ships in bottles. He was finishing...
He was finishing a ship in a bottle?
Yeah.
Why was that so important?
Think there's going to be a ship in a bottle demonstration or something? They're going to teach people how. He is practicing.
Well, don't laugh, Phil, until, you know, don't knock until you've tried it.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, I'm not knocking the guy building ships in a bottle. I'd like to be told, if you don't mind.
We thought you knew.
You knew it. Didn't you know?
I didn't know that he was taking the night off.
No. Didn't you know that he built ships in a bottle?
No, I didn't know he built ships. What difference does it make if I knew that he built ships in a bottle?
Well, then you'd know he'd be demonstrating the... You don't.
Look at guys, don't make assumptions because you think that I knew that he was building ships in a bottle, and so therefore, just don't do it, okay? All right, now, Margaret, we have the music to Sleigh Ride, and you have the lyrics to Sleigh Ride, but you don't really need the lyrics to Sleigh Ride, right?
No, I really don't.
The hell is that?
Just some bongos.
Turn the bongos off, will you?
Thought you wanted bongo music.
Why would I want bongo music?
It's Christmas.
Why would we want bongo music during Christmas?
As Phil?
As Phil? You mean as filler music?
No.
No, guys. If you wanted to put in some filler music, put in some holiday music.
Well, yeah, Sleigh Ride.
Not Sleigh Ride, because we're about to play Sleigh Ride. Do a different Sleigh Ride. Do a different song. Bongo music?
Yeah, it's from Beatniks and More on Ultra Lounge.
Yeah, that's great, guys. Hey, listen, let's do some film music during the holiday season. Beatniks and More on the Ultra Lounge series, and you're playing bongo music. No. All right, Margaret, you ready?
Yeah, my name is Marky.
No, Margaret, are you ready?
I'm ready now, yes.
Here is Margaret Gray and an example of the improvisational effort lyrically.
Yes, and you can do this. Here we go. Just hear the sleigh bells ringing, ding, 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 ding. Come on, it's lovely. Wait a minute. Turn that off for a minute, Bud. What garbage can did you pull this out of?
Off of YouTube.
Well, you can find the can you found that in, stick it back in the can, and stick it back on the street. I don't want it.
Well, what do you want?
I want something different.
Why?
Because it starts weird.
Oh, come on, Margaret. We don't have the time, all right?
Don't yell at me. Frank, you...
Oh, here she is.
Right, we didn't mean to yell at you, but we don't have time. Here's the song. It's fine. He'll listen to it. Give it one run through.
Here it is. Dent, dent, dent.
I know how to do it. Toot, toot.
Oh, see, it has a little bit of a couple of bars there.
Well, that is absolutely asinine. The guy that wrote that is ass on steroids, I'll tell you that.
Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen.
The guy that wrote this song is some kind of a chump. Just hear those sleigh bells ring, ding, 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 ding. Come on, it's lovely weather, ding, 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 ding. Our faces nice and cozy, looks real frozen to me. Come on, it's lovely weather to get together with me. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go. It's out in the snow. Oh, what's that laying in the snow? Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. Oh, look, it looks like Dad. He got really drunk and fell down in the snow. Oh, well, I...
Wait, no, hold on.
I'm not done yet. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Well, forget it now. You interrupted me.
Hold on, I just want to know something.
Hold on, I just want to know. Here comes the controlling nature of Phil Henry. Go ahead, Phil. What do you want to know?
Well, you're improvising.
No, I'm reading it from a lyric. Yes, I'm improvising.
Can't you tell, Mr. Henry?
All right, what's the whole thing about, what's that laying in the snow, and Dad got drunk and fell down in the snow?
It's, no one is listening to it, Phil. Do you understand?
Mr. Henry, the whole idea is when people singing Get Together with a Sleigh Ride Together on You, that's all the part they remember. Let's get together with a sleigh ride together on you.
On you, huh?
It doesn't matter, Phil. When people hear that music, they go, oh, my God, it's the lovely Christmas music. And they go, oh, listen to that. No one's listening to the lyrics that closely. Lyrics, Phil, are a throwaway in many instances, especially Christmas music, which people will say, oh, my God, I love this song. By the time you get to any of the serious lyrics, People have had, they're on their fourth eggnog. They don't know. They don't know from a sleigh ride. Believe me when I tell you. And one other thing. When's the last time you saw anyone go on a sleigh ride? So what we're talking about is a custom that people are completely unfamiliar with. They don't know a thing about it.
But you're still saying there's a guy laying in the snow.
No one, they're just hearing the word snow.
Yeah, just hearing, there's in the snow. And then I'm gonna, I shot a guy and he fell down in the snow.
But why would you chance it and say, I shot a guy and he fell down in the snow?
Well, it just, whatever comes to mind, that's all. It's you could say that. You could say, I went, frankly, and I wouldn't do this, Phil, but frankly, you could say, and we went out and we fornicated in the snow. And
well, if you wouldn't do that, why wouldn't you do that?
Don't point your finger at me like that, Phil. It's very...
I'm sorry, but why wouldn't you do that?
Because, obviously, I've got a very natural editing instinct that even if no one was listening to something like that, I still wouldn't do that. And why is that? Because I'm a lady, Phil. I'm a lady. Do you know what that is?
Yes, my...
No, I don't think you do. Remember that beautiful song by the Lovin' Spoon? She's a lady, and I chanced to meet her as I frolic down the lane.
What?
Would you never mind? You know that song?
Yeah, I remember that song. Yeah, all right.
I remember that song. Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, you can take him out of the... You can take Phil Hendry out of the country, but can you really take the hillbilly out of the...
All right, we're going to come back and do this. We have to take a break.
Right, because the first 15 minutes of this hour was carved up beyond recognition by Mr. Hendry because he's... Oh, excuse me.
Margaret, I got to figure out what it is you're doing, okay? Do you mind?
I told you what I was going to do. So the song goes, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And anyone can do it. Now, I did this on Saturday night there at Mental Mike's. We had a ball.
Well, some of the set lists that you did at Mental Mike's. What about this one? Rudolph at 100 yards. What's that about?
Oh, no, with a high-power scope. Probably a scope rifle.
Yeah.
With a scope rifle. See, that's what I'm talking about.
No, that's not what I'm talking about, you jackball you. I'm not talking about those. Those are songs. What are you doing?
Getting up and leaving.
Oh, no, you're not.
Well, then, hey, you don't like that, do you?
So you're threatening me with getting up and leaving that I'll have to host the show with these two, which I'd just as soon swallow hemlock now.
Who?
Not who.
Hey, watch it.
Eat his ass.
All right, we'll take a break here on the Phil Hendry Show and be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and like that, you know.
I'm going to practice this, folks, so... I am Rosie, are you? Oh, why would you play? I told you.
Hold on. Welcome back, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Why would you play this song?
It's a marshmallow world in the winter.
What do you think?
No, I don't. I told you about Dean Martin.
Time did he grab some?
It's time for play.
Excuse me, when you're talking about me, would you turn that down, please?
All right, but I'm not going to turn it off.
He grabbed my...
He grabbed
a part of my butt at a party, yes.
What's that mean?
I'm not going to discuss it. I'm certainly not going to discuss it. You don't expect me, Phil, to discuss it with him in the room, do you?
Bud?
Him and Robert.
Well,
he grabbed a part of my ass at a party.
All right, I'm sorry to hear that, but it doesn't mean we don't play Dean Martin music?
Not when I'm in the room. No, you don't.
Well, here it is. You're not going to get up and leave?
No, because I've got to finish this sleigh ride mess. I've got to somehow do something with this sleigh ride segment and bring it back to life because we have beaten it almost to death.
In winter, it's a marshmallow.
God, Margaret.
Turn that filth off.
Margaret, you've got the reputation of Dean Martin that you're mucking with, okay?
Well, I'm so sorry. Dean Martin was a wonderful man. We were at a party one night, Frank and I. Frank called Dean over. He said, Dino, come here. I want you to meet the little lady. He comes over, breathing. It wasn't booze. You know that he didn't really drink. That was an act, right?
On TV, I knew that, yeah. I didn't know that in real life.
Oh, in real life. Because he's breathing. It smelled to me like it was lemonade, some kind of lemonade mixed with 7-Up. I think it was an Arnold Palmer, and that's what he was drinking. But he was acting like he was drunk.
Dean Martin wasn't really drunk.
No, he wasn't really drunk. He's drinking an Arnold Palmer, but he's acting like he's hammered. And I said, Dean, I know you're not drinking. He said, that's right. I said, so why are you acting? He said, so it gives me an excuse to do this. And he reached over and grabbed, I'd say, a good 1/4 of the left cheek. What are you laughing at? Forget it.
Bud, would you shut up?
All right.
He grabbed 1/4 of the left cheek. If they're going to laugh, I'm not going to be in this room.
Would you guys?
Sorry.
He grabbed about 1/8 to 1 full quarter of the left.
All right, get out of here, you guys.
That's funny.
Get out of here. Then you can come back in.
Can we come back in after she says left ass cheek?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I heard it. I'm sorry.
He grabbed 1/8 to 1. I'm not sure. It could have been 1/8 to 1/3.
Margaret, would you just, you know.
What's your problem?
1/8 to 1/3? Are you kidding? Did he grab your ass?
Well, you know what? If you want to spit it out like that, you want to spill it all over the dock like the little Kintner boy, go ahead.
Did say it.
No, I did not.
I'm sorry to hear that you had that experience with Dean Martin. I don't know what to say. What did Frank do?
Laughed. The same as you guys.
I'm very sorry. That's not nice. And what do you want me to do? I mean, I got to tell you, it's, you know.
Well, Phil, you were, over the weekend, you were talking about the bad things that people do. Weren't you talking about Roger Waters and the attitude that he has about Israel and what a scumbag he is and what a low-lying, dirty, filthy, you know what you said.
I didn't say, I said what I said, yeah. But I also said that I never really did like that guy's music. I like Pink Floyd, but I could care less whether Roger Waters is with Pink Floyd. Doesn't matter to me at all.
Well, that makes you pretty stupid. I'm sorry, darling, to say that, because everyone knows that Roger Waters was the genius, was the driving force behind the beauty and the drama of Pink Floyd.
Did it again, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, you're doing it again, that whole dramatic... Ugh.
What?
You're doing that slack jaw of the void. You know, you're doing that whole dramatic Pink Floyd.
Are you aware of what Pink Floyd meant to music?
Oh, God. All right. So, thank you very much, Margaret, for the rendition of We're All Done With That.
No, I have one more. I just wanted people to know that you can use any lyric. You don't want it to be you don't want it to be scary and frightening and ugly, but make it something that's light and lilting but nondescript. Like this. Just hear the sleigh bells ringing, oh, they're dinging too. Ding, 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 ling, 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 ling. Oh, ding, 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 dong, ding, dong. Ding, dong, ding, dong, kong, nong, nong. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Snow. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's eat. That's horse meat ahead. We are hungry like the poor people are. When we're done with the sleigh ride, we'll carve up that horse. Turn it off. Never mind.
Well, why don't you think people are going to laugh at something like that?
You're not supposed to be listening to the lyrics.
If we get hungry like the poor people are, let's carve up that horse.
And you find that funny?
Yeah, it's hysterical.
Yes, we find it funny.
With poor people starving.
So I just want to be clear. Sleigh ride, nobody listens to the lyrics. You're making them up because it's improv, because it's really about the music. And yet when you do improv the lyrics about let's carve up the horse and eat it after we're done.
I'm not going to sit here and be mocked and be laughed at while I have other things to do. I've got toilet duties.
Well, how did I know that?
That's right, Phil. Go ahead and make fun of me because I've got the runs.
That toilet paper.
I know.
All right. Thank you very much, Margaret, for that. So that's called improv lyric, and it's General. You're here. Hey,
Phil. I apologize to everyone. I'm very sorry. I was. Did Bud tell you?
He said you're in a boat, ship in a bottle thing.
Yeah, that's right. The Ship of the Bottle competition is tomorrow, and that's going to be at the Newport Harbor. And I was going to go down. I'm going down with Bill Fleming and Jack Fishall, and we build ships in the bottle, and we're going to go down there and give the old ladies a lesson in how to do it.
The old ladies?
Yes, there's a group of elderly women, and they're from the Laguna Beach, some old lady club, I don't know. But they wanted us to demonstrate how to, well, I always want to be careful.
You go ahead, General, it's okay. I already talked to him about Phil.
Okay.
Well, I'm talking about a bunch of old women. We're going to show them how to stick it in a bottle.
Okay, the ships.
Yes, that's right, but I wanted to be careful.
Sorry, General, I mean, we're not, it's okay.
Well, I heard the segment with Margaret Gray, and I didn't want to run afoul of standards.
No, it's fine. So you're going to show the old ladies how to build a ship in a bottle.
Yeah, that is exactly right. Myself, Bill Fleming, and Jack Fishall. And we'll go down. The old ladies are serving us lunch, and they're very excited. And so I was practicing, putting it into... I was with Patsy, and she and I were practicing putting it in.
The ship in a bottle!
Yes, but I don't want to run afoul of your standards and practices.
But look, General, I have no standards and practices.
So I gathered.
Well, that's pretty, pretty cold, man.
Phil, I'm just kidding around.
There's no standards and practices per se. I understand what you're talking about, a ship in a bottle. Don't worry if you have to say stick it in. You know, you guys, everybody around here, you're getting a little too gun-shy, okay?
Yeah, you're always talking about on a FCC.
No, but you don't doesn't mean you can't say the word stick it in, okay? If you're building a bottle...
All right, so Patty and I were practicing putting it in.
Putting what in?
Well, then you are finding fault.
General, what I'm saying is, if you're at home and you're practicing making ships in a bottle, I understand that. And if you're practicing making ships in a bottle with your wife, I certainly understand that. But when you sit there and you say something like, Patty and I were at home sticking it in, you know, you're not...
Well, this is why I'm asking you the question, for God's sake.
All right. We'll be right back. Let me talk to you during the break. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. A very pleasant Monday evening to you.
I know men can cheat you lie. I know some...
Patty and I would put it in, and then Patty...
World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
I would love to do an album of Lynyrd Skynyrd music.
Yeah, do this. This is rock and roll.
Excuse me, but I was singing Rock and Roll Bud before you were a rotten idea in someone's mind.
Whiskey bottle.
All right.
All right.
Oak tree, you're in my way. You know what that's about, right?
Yeah, driving into an oak tree.
Well, don't act as if it's some... Jeez, Phil.
That's real poetry, Mr. Henry.
Now, hold on. Would you turn the jungle down? Who is this?
Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, I remember them. Yes, they're a great group, Margaret.
I didn't say they weren't.
Well, what do you mean he ran into an oak tree?
Well, the song is about doing too many drugs and running into an oak tree.
The song is about doing too many drugs, and in the beginning...
Oh, so he says, oak tree, you're in my way.
Yeah, and you've got to be pretty hammered to be talking to an oak tree, wouldn't you?
I would think so, yes.
Well, don't minimize... Yes, but you're making it sound stupid. Oak tree, you're in my way. It's very dramatic, Phil. Whiskey bottles... And brand new cars, oak tree, you're in my way.
God! Oh!
What happened to him?
General, you all right?
Oh, man. General, you all right? Get a water. Oh.
What happened to him?
What? How would I know, Phil?
General, come here.
I got dizzy. The voice,
Put him, just lay him on the floor. Lay him on the floor.
No, don't lay me on the floor. I'm dizzy. I got the spins. Oh, okay, better.
You okay?
Yeah, Margaret, your voice pierced right through my skull and gave me vertigo.
Well, then you need to go to a doctor and have a CAT scan, because I hit a pure C note there.
No, you did not. When I heard that note, it went right through my skull, as if, it was as if, Hannibal Lecter. Hannibal Lecter. Did you see the scene where Hannibal Lecter cut into Ray Liotta's head? That's what I felt as if you were Hannibal Lecter, I was Ray Liotta, and Phil was the director of the film, laughing at us as...
All right, will you forget it?
Well, it wasn't very pleasant.
I find that to be very insulting. I'm a professional singer.
Yeah, so I've been told.
Margaret, I think you're a great singer.
Well, the point that I'm saying is it's dramatic. It's very dramatic. And when you're talking about the drug problems that rock and roll people have and the different other singers, even people that sing jazz have had, you name it, they could be...
What about opera singers and stuff?
Opera singers, I don't know, but I'll bet you anything opera singers have heroin problems, crack.
Crack?
Yes, crack cocaine.
Opera singers?
Yeah, not just crack cocaine, methamphetamine. I think opera singers and people that sing for the New York City Opera are probably down in some place in upstate New York where the last vestiges of the Jackson Whites live, and they're scoring that disgusting powder.
And they're snorting it off a hunting knife.
Yes.
Well, I doubt that, seriously.
Oh, well, Phil, you know then, huh?
And do you? Who do you know? Don't tell me, because all you do is slander somebody.
I beg your pardon?
Who do you know in the Metropolitan Opera that is smoking methamphetamine?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yes, I would. Yes, and the police would, too.
No, you wouldn't tell anybody. No, I'm not.
If you know somebody that's breaking the law like that, you should let everyone know.
I'm just saying, as an example, whiskey bottles and brand new cars... It's dramatic. That's what I'm trying to say, General.
I understand it's dramatic, but you don't have to harm my skull and create... You've given me epilepsy. I'll probably have fits for the rest of my life.
Why say that?
I believe she's given me a lesion, a brain lesion from that caterwauling.
You know, General, if it wasn't for the fact that you're an old man, I'd be Clint Eastwood walking up to that guy and saying, you're going to need 5 coffins.
5?
Yes. You, Bud... Robert, the general, and me, because I kill myself afterwards.
You know, anybody tuning into this show would be absolutely correct in calling the police and just having all of us thrown in for a 72-hour evaluation. That's how weird you sound.
Oh, it's all me.
Yes, all of us would be thrown in because you are talking like a weird ass. All right, folks.
Wait a minute. I'm not done. Whiskey bottles and brand new cars. This is a very dramatic thing. Whiskey bottles and brand new cars. Oak tree, you're in my way. Hold on for a minute.
You didn't do it right.
Hold on for a minute. Oak tree, you're in my way. What'd you think of that?
That was just great.
Forget it.
Margaret, let me go with you because I want to make a... I brought fixings for an Arnold Palmer's.
Oh, good.
That's really interesting. A minute ago, the guy is laying on the floor fearing he has epilepsy, and now he's making Arnold Palmer's.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
All right, world famous... All right, yeah, okay, cool. World famous Phil Hendry show. Ray singer... I was going to say country singer. Ray singer. Country singer Ray Price has passed on at the age of 87. Now, Ray Price, I remember, because when I first started in radio back in 73, I was on what was in those days called a middle-of-the-road station. So we played everything from light rock, so we played like Elton John, all the way over to, we even played at that time, some instrumentals by Montavani and sort of mainstream country music, and Ray Price was one of them. But Ray Price, at the very height of his fame, was singing on The Tonight Show and entertaining all kinds of people, singing for presidents. He was 87 years of age. He was a pioneer of Texas honky-tonk music, who later applied his rich baritone to lushly arranged ballads of pop crossover hits. He died in Mount Pleasant, Texas, at the age of 87. The announcement came a day after a family member erroneously announced the singer, who had been battling pancreatic cancer, had died. So they'd made a... And, you know, on Sunday...
There were a lot of people that died on Sunday.
Yeah, the one guy, Roger Waters, died, right?
No, Roger Waters didn't die.
Well, he might as well have died.
Well, you just... No, he didn't die. Roger Waters... That's a whole other thing.
What'd he do?
Roger Waters said something, and we'll get to it. The people at Peter O'Toole. Peter O'Toole. Man, that bummed me out. You know, I got bummed out. Peter O'Toole was great. He was just one of my favorites. And then Tom Laughlin. Now, Tom Laughlin was an interesting guy because at the time that the Billy Jack movies came out, Tom Laughlin's reputation as a filmmaker among the critics was almost non-existent. When they got a look at Billy Jack and The Legend of Billy, all these movies that he did, you know, all those movies that inspired in many ways the Little Guy Against the System movie. I'm not saying that it was the only inspiration, but they, you know, Billy Jack was a Vietnam veteran. The character's a Vietnam veteran who is part Native American, and he comes home to his village, I think, or because I, to be honest with you, never saw the movies. I just know them by name and by reputation.
Well, why didn't you go see them?
Because I wasn't interested in them. I mean, I was probably one of those people who was a little too interested in going to see Easy Rider, you know.
Well, was Easy Rider a more popular film?
No, I would say the Billy Jack movies were more popular. And that was the thing that he was trying to say to these critics. He was saying to them, you don't treat us with any respect. You don't talk about me with any respect. You don't talk about our movie. And yet our movie is seen by far more people than the movies that you like. You know, our movies, our Billy Jack movies, are kicking ass. They did. They made a lot of money with those flicks. And one of the reasons why they made a lot of money is that Mr. Laughlin, Tom Laughlin, the producer, as well as I think the director and the star... He mounted a kind of marketing campaigns that had never been seen before. They were the saturation campaigns of TV spots in the markets where the film was opening. So if the movie was opening in Kansas City or if the movie was opening in New York, they did all kinds of TV buys in Kansas City and New York. Or on the very day that the movie opened, they would have huge buys. Now, today, that stuff is absolutely by the book. Ordinary. We don't think anything of it. We don't because it had been pioneered all those many years ago, 40 plus years ago, by this man, Tom Laughlin. He's the guy.
So Tom Laughlin's the one that started all of these media buys on the day of, etc.
Yes.
Why didn't I know that?
Because you think you're better than him.
What are you talking? You know, some days, Bud, you're just asking for it. You really are. You really, really want the $300 worth. I'm trying to ignore you today, but today you want it. You need it. You need me on that wall. You want me on that wall.
Will you knock it off?
Yeah.
Knock it off. So Tom Laughlin was the guy, and that precipitated a new move in Hollywood toward a much more media-savvy attitude toward films. The 70s was the beginning of an entirely new era in movie-making in Hollywood. The old movie stars were... passing on and moving out of prominence. The Kirk Douglases, the Richard Widmarks, the Burt Lancasters, all of those guys had seen their day. And now came the Jack Nicholsons, the Robert De Niros, and later on the Meryl Streeps. And this was a whole new era in movie making. And with it came this new kind of marketing. We saw these ad buys. It was an event. A movie became an event, and it was an event that they would marry with television, you know. I remember going to see The Exorcist, and I saw The Exorcist in West L.A., and I saw it in Westwood Village, as a matter of fact, and I saw it at the Bruin, which is that theater off of the campus at UCLA, and it was the biggest crowd I'd ever seen in my life to go to see a movie. I mean, the line was around the block, man.
Now, how many shows did they have at the Bruin? I remember the Bruin very well.
What's a Bruin?
That's the name of the theater near UCLA.
Yeah, well, what is it?
It's a bear. Didn't we already talk about this?
Oh, these ass. You guys asked that question once before.
You never answered what a Bruin is.
It's a little bear, man.
Okay, so it's like a Smokey a bear? But you were talking about Smokey.
If you guys sidetrack me, I'm going to kill. Do you understand?
I swear to God, all I want to know, if Smokey the Bear was a Bruin.
You see how he's smiling? There's a half smile there.
No!
Why do you have your fist cocked?
I want you to answer him, and if I see him smile, he's going to get it right there in the eyeball. You see this ring?
No, watch it. I don't know, bud. The answer is I don't know if Smokey the Bear was a Bruin, okay? You're just going to have to live with that information. You're just going to have to live with that. We're coming up on a break, and you can go, and you can look it up, and it's just going to be a beautiful thing. How about that?
Well, all right.
World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back. Visit us online at philhenryshow.com. Christmas around the corner. Get a gift subscription to the Phil Fan and your family.
You were the sunshine.
The stone and the valley people swore they'd have it for their very own.
This is the music from Billy Jack.
What are you doing?
What?
This isn't the original. This is that garbage. Get it? No, Phil. It's the garbage.
What do you mean the garbage?
That's not the original recording.
Oh, okay. Is it the thing they re-recorded?
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Oh, this is a Broadway show? Is that it?
Yes, it's a Broadway show for the one... Just, you've got to find the group Coven. They're the ones that did it.
All right. So we're joined here by Margaret Gray, and of course General Shaw is back from the shipbuilding practice that is predating or is coming ahead of tomorrow's shipbuilding instruction, the ship in a bottle instruction you're giving to some elderly ladies in Newport Beach, right?
That is correct. We're going down. It's some old lady. I shouldn't say old lady. It's a group of elderly women that get together and they want to do something. They're interested in building these ships. They've got a fair amount of resource. So these are women who are well off. Their husbands are no longer with them. That's got, you know, I can see Bud Dickman looking, one of these days, young man.
No, I didn't do anything.
Bud, quit it. Just quit it. You're not funny. You're not making anybody laugh, okay? Just you're acting like an idiot.
One of these days, Bud, you'll learn to have respect and that some people just want to make friends. It's got nothing to do with sex or the sexual relations between myself and an old lady down in Newport Beach. I'm married, do you understand?
Yes, sir.
And I'm not going to go to Newport Beach and get into that kind of a situation. I'm teaching her or any of the elderly women down there how to take a bottle and to put a ship in it, to build the ship in the bottle, and then put the, well...
How do you do that?
I'd rather not tell you.
Well, do you know?
Yes, I think I... What an insulting question.
Well, you sounded a little confused, that's all.
No, you build the ship, and you put the bottle... You actually, what you do is you should build the bottle, but they won't let you do that.
So they won't let you do that. All right.
Yes, they won't let me do that, Bill, and so...
Okay, so in any event, we were talking here about One Tin Soldier, the film. Not One Tin Soldier, the movie, the Billy Jack movies.
I got a guy on the phone here from L.A. His name is Kip Cummings, and a former... He did a... what did he do, sir? He did a public... marketing for movies. He didn't do the Billy Jack movie, but he did do the marketing on a movie.
Okay, Kip, how are you, sir?
Hi.
How are you, sir?
Oh, hi. Is this Bill?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Phil. Kip coming. And I was telling the man who answered the phone that I was in the press relations business, the marketing business, back when the Billy Jack movies were out and Tom was doing all those movies.
So did you know him?
No, I didn't know him, but I knew of the films, and we were all involved in quite an industry back in those days. But I was interested in the methods that Mr. Laughlin used, and they were quite good and quite effective.
And so you were, marketing competing films?
Well, yes, I was involved in the advertising and marketing in the different to the different demographics of the different films. You see, and when Tom Laughlin came out with the Billy Jack movies and began to do this revolutionary marketing that you were just discussing sort of left a lot of us flat-footed, and we'd have lunches and talk about this crazy man that was, you know, he was a crazy man, and he was, the things he was doing was just...
Why'd you say crazy?
Well, he was doing everything, he was making all of us look bad, because I was earning at that time six figures, and truth be told, I wasn't getting any movies made, I wasn't getting any, none of the movies I was promoting were making any money, so I was... I felt like I was stealing my money, and maybe I was, but I was making six figures, and I was having lunch and drinks, ending every day with cocktails. And now along comes this guy, and I was sitting and I was having lunch with two other friends of mine that did this kind of work. Long story short, I found out the next day both of those men had gone home and... basically hung themselves from the...
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Yeah, from the second-floor balcony of their estates in Brentwood over their pools. And that was the statement they were making when the police found them. They were swinging over swimming pools. And...
I'm so very sorry, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. To be honest with you, I wasn't, because that was too less... individuals to muck things up, but that was already an industry that was in an absolute mess, and I didn't need to keep listening to them telling me what I was doing wrong, you see.
Well, all right, I mean, that's a kind of a cold-hearted way of...
Were these men friends of yours?
Oh, they were acquaintances of mine, but I wouldn't call them friends. I was sad to hear that they felt it necessary to clear out, you know, and leave the field, leave some open field running for me, but it was going to have to be that way, because all these guys were impediments to me.
And they went home and killed themselves.
Yeah, they went home and hung themselves from the decks off of the master bedrooms, the second floor decks off the master bedrooms of their homes, which just happened in both cases to go out over swimming pools. So as I say, they were and there was a pretty good breeze that weekend in Los Angeles, so when the police did find them, the bodies were swaying in the breeze. And I think this was all calculated by them to say, we're twisting in the breeze, not you.
I've heard some stories. That is...
That is absolutely sad. I'm so sorry.
I'm not. I am, but I'm...
But, I mean, these two guys hung themselves.
Well, all right, but... We can move past that now, and I'm still here, and I was able to carve a living out for myself, even though it wasn't much of a living, because Tom Laughlin, he came along with his big shot new way of doing things and made everybody look like an ass, you know. And so these poor chaps, in a lot of ways, were just the victims of what's that?
I'm sorry. We got to take a break, okay?
That scared the hell out of me.
World famous Phil Hendry show. This guy's a what?
Dead marketing in Hollywood on a movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got Tom Laughlin, and we'll be back. Phil Hendry show. The Phil Hendry show and philhendryshow.com presents.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Everywhere you go.
With Margaret Gray.
Take a look at 5 and 10.
Bud Dickman.
Listening once again.
Robert Leonard.
Candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
And General Galen Shaw.
Thank you very much.
Like Christmas.
I wanted to make a...
Toys
hold on. Well, I want to make a statement of... that I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in God.
Hold on, General.
But I believe in God.
Would you hold on, General?
Barney and Ben.
Barney? I just heard the man singing about Barney.
And
the man, that's Johnny Mathis.
I don't give a sweet G. I don't care who it is. I heard him singing a bunch of non sequiturs.
The reason why Phil is playing this is because of what I was saying.
There's a tree in the Grand Hotel. One in the...
Give me the thing. Turn that off for a bit. I mean, don't. It's very lovely, bud. What are you talking about?
This song is an example of the improvisational lyric. Johnny Mathis isn't making any sense in this song. This song is disturbing. He's talking about Barney. He's talking about a tree in a basement. No one knows what he's singing about.
May I say that I believe in God?
Yes, General. We'll get to you in a second.
Why are you saying that?
Because of your stated atheism. I wanted to say that. Now you're telling me that Johnny Mathis is singing nothing but gobbledygook. Now that throws my world into a tither. I don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah, well...
Oh, I see, because it's important to know whether Johnny Mathis is singing a song or not. That means...
The General's entitled to his opinion.
Why don't we just not get confused about the General and you? What are you saying?
I'm saying it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, there's a tree in a basement there. There's a man wearing a spacesuit. Let's go to the moon and let's buy shoes. It doesn't make any sense, I'm trying to tell you. I've been trying to tell people this for years. It makes no sense.
If I go back and listen to that song, and I listen to the lyrics of that song, it'll make perfect sense.
Now it does, yes. Because that's the insidiousness of it. But when you just hear it for the first time, and you're not paying attention, and you're, oh, hi, how are you? And you're wrapping presents, and you're doing whatever you do, Phil, which whatever you do is... That's your business, and I don't tell me what it is. Because...
What are you looking me up and down for like I'm some kind of an animal out of a boxcar?
I don't know what you do. But whatever you do, you just do it and don't tell me about it, all right? But the point is, that's what you do. And you can do it. And do it till you're blue in the face. But when you're listening to It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, you're hearing the ravings of a lunatic. That's what you're hearing, Phil, the ravings of a lunatic. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, there's a shoe on my foot and the place is...
Yeah, I kind of know what you mean, Margaret.
Do you understand, don't you, Bud?
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
The ravings of a lunatic.
Well, I sort of understand what she's saying. When I listen to some Christmas music, the one that bothers me more than anything is The White Christmas. Now, I love the song by Bing Crosby. I'm looking at your white Christmas. And, you know, if you guys know the song?
I'm looking at your white Christmas.
Is that...
I'm dreaming of a white... That song.
Yes, there you go. But the more you hear it, the more unhinged it sounds. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. With every Christmas bell I ring, or what is it?
With every Christmas card I write. It makes perfect sense to me.
No, you don't understand, Phil. There are some of us that are hearing beyond the music. We're hearing a disturbing landscape beyond the music. There used to be an MTV show called Beyond the Music, and it was about the disturbing landscape that inhabited the scenery behind the song. I remember seeing the Hansons on there and the mad look in their eyes as they attempted to do their little songs, whatever they were. And you knew that the landscape behind the Hansons was a mad, unreal, off-kilter, mad German impressionistic landscape, like Murders in the Rue Morgue, you know, or the Cabinets of Dr. Caligari.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? I'm talking about reality here, Phil. I'm talking about madness and reality.
Yes.
I think both of you guys are unhinged. You want to know who's unhinged?
Oh, here we go. Here's where it begins.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you need to have an open mind.
An open mind about what? The madness behind the Hansons. You know, some people may not like their music, but it doesn't mean they're nuts. Now, as far as Christmas music goes, I don't find anything disturbing about any of it. I may have heard the songs about 9 million times. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, I think it's crazy stuff. Okay, enough about that, if you don't mind. This is the Phil Henry Show, and as I mentioned, we had a number of people pass on this past weekend, and they were prominent in the entertainment business. This seems to be the situation when prominent people die. We pay most attention to the entertainers, the actors, the singers, we then pay attention to, I would suppose, the next layer would be the politicians, the authors, people that are well-known, celebrities. Well-known people such as scientists are well-known to their peers, and they're well-known perhaps to a few of us who may stay up on those topics, but not necessarily the masses of people. Now, what happened yesterday, Peter O'Toole passed on. Now, here's a guy that was known very, very, he was a very prominent and big movie star in the 60s when he first was in Lawrence of Arabia and Goodbye, Mr. Chips. And later on, Another Generation knew him in My Favorite Year. But he died yesterday, and it got a lot of response, got a lot of reaction, but it was mostly kind of a nostalgic thing. People of my generation, you know, the boomers, we knew Peter O'Toole pretty well.
Now, what was this Murphy's War?
Murphy's War, man. I don't know why, but I love that movie.
I never heard of it. I've never seen it. I wouldn't know it if I tripped over it in the dark.
Yeah. What's that about, Mr. Henry?
Well, you really know how to... But Margaret, I tell you, if Margaret Gray hasn't heard about it...
I wouldn't know Murphy's War, Phil, if you took it, rolled it up, and gave it to me to smoke. I know the great Peter O'Toole film, Lion in Winter, hello. Dr. Zhivago, hello.
He wasn't in Dr. Zhivago.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was in Dr. Zhivago, Phil.
No, he was not in Dr. Zhivago. No, he was not. He was never in Dr. Zhivago.
And you're certain of that?
I own Dr. Zhivago. He ain't in that movie.
He ain't in that movie. Well, what movie was he in then?
Lawrence of Arabia.
That the one about the gay motorcycle driver?
The gay motorcycle driver. Yeah, that's the movie, bud.
What's wrong?
It was much more than that, bud.
Lawrence of Arabia, T.E. Lawrence was the guy's name, okay? T.E. Lawrence was a famous guy. He was a member of the British Army, and he went down to the sands of Saudi Arabia, of Arabia. He went down to the nomadic sands of the Ottoman Empire, okay? This is what we're talking about, the Ottoman Empire.
Now, are you going to give a lecture? Because I've got to go to the toilet.
Yeah, you go right ahead and go to the toilet, Margaret.
No, I don't think I will now, because you're going to mock me behind my back.
Most likely.
Yeah, most likely is right.
All right, but then I'm going to stay here.
Okay.
But I do have to go.
Well, then go, for God's sake. Don't sit here and...
I don't have to go that bad.
All right, are you going or not?
I don't think so, no.
All right, Ms. Ray. Then Ms. Sherman's going to talk.
Well, now I do want to go, if you're going to talk. I'm sorry, I'll stay.
Anyway, T.E. Lawrence was a British guy, and he went down there, and he united the Arab tribes, these nomadic tribes. They were fighting the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire was the Turkish Empire. That's what, folks, was down there in World War I. In World War I, it wasn't Iraq, and it wasn't Syria, and it wasn't Lebanon, and it wasn't Palestine, and it wasn't any of that. I mean, these were, you know, areas of the Ottoman Empire, but it was run by the Turks and had been for many, many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. The 20th century and the 19th century saw the end to a couple of empires that were almost 1,000-plus years old. One of them was the Holy Roman Empire of Europe, and the other was the Ottoman Empire. And another that was several hundred years old, the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. All of these went to hell in a handcart after World War I. And one of the reasons why is because of this man, Lawrence, T.E. Lawrence, who was a British soldier who went, united these Arabs, and they fought the Turks and defeated the Turks in a couple of major battles that helped the British Empire, the British Army, defeat the Turks in the Middle East. So that was who he was.
Well, what's this stuff about his... I know he was gay...
You know, I don't know whether he was gay or not, to be honest with you. I don't know.
Well, they said he was.
Well, they might have said he was. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. He probably was. I have no idea. There's no question that there have been a great many very prominent and famous people that were gay, and no one wanted us to know that they were, because that would probably compromise our view of what manhood is. It's very likely that T.E. Lawrence was gay. I've heard that for many years. He did enjoy riding motorcycles. He died in a motorcycle accident. Shortly, I think, after the end of the war. And the film is a highly dramatic rendering of his activities there in the Middle East, primarily in Saudi Arabia, in the Battle for Aqaba, Subsequent battles. And the battle for Aqaba was a big one because it and the film deals with it in pretty factually. They had to go across a searing desert to get to the Turkish garrison at Aqaba. And the reason why they decided to go across the desert is because it would be coming at the Turks from behind their position. All of their guns were pointed out into open water, not behind them, because they never in their wildest dreams thought anybody could survive, no army of any size could survive going across that desert and then going into a full attack. That's exactly what T.E. Lawrence did with this federated band of Arab warriors and defeated the Turks in that fight. And of course, that was it was a big turning point because it opened up an avenue for the British Empire.
Why don't you? Someone said, Phil, that you should do a history podcast.
No, I don't want to do that.
Well, why don't you?
Because that means I got to. Everything's got to be accurate. I don't know. You know, I don't know if half the crap. I know that what I'm saying is true in general, in a general sense. But the specifics, you know, I don't read up the day when before I go on the air on this stuff. There may be a couple of things I'm getting wrong here. You know.
Why don't you study up on everything?
You can study up and get it right.
Nah, I don't want to do that.
No, you wouldn't want to do that, would you, Phil? Study up and get it right.
I could do it, but I'm very insecure about that, you know, because history's really important, and I'd rather people...
Well, let's do it the way... Look, you've got a guy doing a drunk show. Did you see this thing, General? Do you know what he's doing?
What's that?
He's doing a show where he gets drunk and then goes on TV and talks about history, and everyone thinks it's a big laugh riot.
You're doing what? What is that again?
Thank you for getting it right, Margaret.
No, I got it exactly. He's going on TV. You didn't hear about this.
No, I knew that Phil was going on TV. What are you doing, Henry?
Well,
I'll do it. He's going on television, General.
I'll do it. I'm the guy that's going on TV.
I'll do it because you'll gussy it up and make it sound better than it really is. He's going on TV.
Yeah. What do you mean I'll gussy it up?
Didn't you vomit?
I told the audience that. Yes, I did.
Get a load of this, General. He drank a whole bunch of tequila, talked about Daniel Inouye, and then just went, bleh, just threw up on camera.
No, I did not. No, I did not. No, I did not.
You did. That's exactly what you said.
Oh, Phil, tell me it isn't so.
It didn't happen that way. Drunk History is a show where they have narrators, that would be me, telling what we know about a certain historical event or person, and we're doing it while we're drinking. And we're drinking so that we are, in many ways, like the barroom storyteller, drinking, telling stories, and slowly but surely, the booze loosens your tongue to the point where you start creating dialogue, and it becomes a much more colorful telling. Now, where the humor of the show really comes in is this narration that I'm giving it, or any of the narrators give it, is taken word for word as a script and put into the mouths of actors. The voiceover is mine, so you hear my voice talking, but you see the actors mouthing the words. And in my case, the story that I told was the story of Daniel Inouye. Or, excuse me, I got people getting pissed at me. Inouye, that's it. Daniel Inouye.
Well, now, why do you say that?
Because, I got to take a break. That's why I say that, because I just heard Nikki say take a break.
Say that again?
I got to take a break. I'll be right back after we take the break.
Are you talking about...
The radio show. I have to break.
Oh.
All right. We'll be right back here. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and I'll finish whatever it was I was talking about. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. You like this, Margaret?
Oh, I love this. After all the jacks are in the boxes. Listen... See, this is poetry. This is...
Yeah, now I like this song, too, Phil. Right here. The clown has gone away.
You do it, General.
You can hear happiness standing on down street, footprints dressed in red. And the wind, and the wind says Mary.
The wind cries Mary.
And the wind, yes, that's it. The wind cried Mary.
Cries Mary.
You're starting to, you're bothering me. A broom is drearily sweeping. See, I don't understand any of this now.
Do you suppose this is music that...
Well, this is like Christmas music because it makes no sense. It's disturbing. So it reminds me of Christmas music.
You know, Margaret, because you're an atheist, all you're doing is ripping into Christmas music. I don't like that. I don't like it at all.
You want to do something about it?
Now, wait a minute.
Hold on for a minute.
Well?
Don't start talking like that.
Well, you're giving me this read like it's the Rifleman. I don't like that at all. Down the middle of the city came Phil and Margaret as they stood 100 paces away from each other, the dirt and the dust swirling in the desert sun. Down for her hand, she reached for...
Here's thing.
Ow! All right. Thank you.
So that's it, huh?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you very much, General. That was a very good recitation there of that, but I'll have no more of it. Thank you.
Well, I was only trying to add some color and some telemetry to an otherwise very confused show.
It has been a very confused show. I will give you that. It's been bizarre and confused.
And you're looking at me like that's my fault?
Why do you always think everything's your fault, Miss Ray? Nobody said anything about you.
Are you yelling at me?
Yeah, I'm yelling at you. Why do you think everything's your fault? All you do is threaten people.
Robert.
No, I'm sick of it, man. I'm sick of it. All you do is push people around, push Bud around, push Phil around, push the general, telling people you're going to hit them, telling people you're going to assault them. I'd have called the cops on you.
I have never...
Why don't you just be quiet and sit there and just take it for a couple of seconds? I'm talking about you yelling at people. You should not be yelling at people.
And what are you doing?
I'm telling you the truth is what I'm doing. Telling you the truth. Always threaten everybody. And everything doesn't go your way. Everybody, it's everybody else's fault, not your fault.
Are you going to let him tell me?
You got to look at Phil, trying to get some help from Phil. Phil knows what I'm saying is true.
I've never been spoken to like...
Margaret, come on.
No.
Well...
Yeah, you. I agree with what Robert said.
Well, I can't say that I don't agree with him either. You know, it's, you know.
All right, somebody had to say something. You guys weren't going to say nothing.
What am I supposed to say about it?
But you're only the guy. It's your show.
She's been, you know, kind of out of sorts lately. You know, I.
What's wrong with her?
I don't know. But I mean, Margaret's generally, you know, you're right. I mean, I don't like the people being threatened.
Yeah, it's always telling me she's going to kick somebody's ass. She's going to stick a man, I heard her say to Bud here, she's going to kick his ass and everything.
Well, I mean, where'd she go?
She's outside smoking a white owl. She said she needed to be alone.
All right. What is with the white owls? I don't...
Well, she happens to like those cigars, you know. Margaret was very close to her father, from what I understand. That's where she learned to box.
Margaret was a boxer.
Oh yeah, yes she was. She was not allowed to box as when she got older because she was a girl and they didn't let girls box. But she learned. Her father had a speed bag and a sandbag in the garage, and she worked out on that.
Her father had a. Margaret used a speed bag.
That's my understanding, and so she, you know, has always been ready to go with the fists. Unlike, you know, some other women.
Well, all we're saying is, you know, she's been lately threatening to kick everybody's ass around here.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this much. If the shoe fits...
What, are you saying some people deserve it?
I think in your case, Bud, with your big fat mouth, yes. You deserve to get your ass kicked. Now, you, Robert, I don't think, and Phil, but she's got to think, she's got to kick his ass, regardless of what you say.
Well, I don't think it's right.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Find out if she comes back in here and... look, I don't want Margaret to feel like she's... Robert, what you said was good, you know?
Yeah, I thought it was.
But I don't want her feeling like she's not welcome. We'll be back, Phil Hendry Show.
Close down their shop.
Well, let me go outside and see if she's...
What's that?
There are more white owls, she was.
Selling 800...
It's the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful. But the fire is so
yeah, Robert, it's going to take more than you to scare me.
Since we've no place
to go. I'm trying to scare you. Just trying to let it
go. You gave me your truth, but I'm not going to let this song go by without. This is another example of a Christmas song that doesn't make any sense. Now it's do-do-do-do, and the weather out. I love Christmas, don't get me wrong, but this is absolute just babbling, that's all. This is a lunatic's raving.
I'm not hearing that at all. Listen to that.
Who is this?
Michael, who is this, bud?
Michael Blah.
What's his name, bud? Quit screwing around.
I swear to God, it's Michael Bubbleman.
Michael Bubbleman?
Let me see this. He's got a good voice, though, doesn't he?
Well, he's got that let it snow.
You know, he reminds me a little bit of the Jack Sinatra, doesn't he?
Yeah, it does.
Jack Sinatra, huh?
Yeah. The weather outside. I love to listen to that.
Frank Sinatra, you mean?
What did he say?
Jack Sinatra.
No, not Jack Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
No, not Frank Sinatra. Who's Jack Spratt. What is it?
Jack Jones.
What's his name?
Jack Jones.
That's it. Jack Jones when he did the Hey, Wives and Lovers.
Yeah, Wives and Lovers. Jack Jones. Okay, well, whatever, man. So, turn it down, bud, will you?
Mike Bubbleman.
This is Mike Bubbleman.
That's great. Turn it the hell down, will you? God.
At least it isn't the jungle music that you keep turning up loud.
You know, this whole thing with jungle, man, you talk about a rock and roll, man, this is like general...
Oh, what, I'm not with it? Is that it? I'm not with it, man. That guy, I'm telling you right now, I can tell by the way that guy looks through his face, he's crazier than a crap house rat, and that was Jack Sinatra. All right?
Not Jack Sinatra, Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra, General.
All right, Frank Sinatra. You guys are making a big issue, and Margaret making an issue about the ravings of a lunatic. I don't get that at all. The man's singing about snow, and that's what happens in the wintertime.
I know, but he's singing, oh, the weather outside is frightful, and the I don't know.
All right, Margaret. Speaking of you being an atheist, this is the time of year when atheists often make their feelings known concerning, what is it? They make their feelings known concerning the manger and all that stuff?
Yes. You mean the public display of religious symbol?
Yeah.
I don't care. I could care less. Doesn't matter to me at all.
All right. But you know the people I'm talking about?
There are a variety of atheist groups, yes. That's not my thing. That's not my thing. My thing is I celebrate the season. I am more pagan than I am atheist. I am more Wiccan.
Well, that's not atheist. You believe in the Wiccan demons and those things.
Well, there's not Wiccan demons. There's no such thing as that.
Is Wiccan Yule? Is that what that is?
Who?
Yule.
What's that?
The Yule log, Yuletide.
Oh, the Yule. I thought you were talking about Yul Brynner. Honest to God, I did.
Yeah, I did too, Phil, Margaret. So don't feel alone there.
I really did. Yul.
Who's Yul Brynner?
He was a bald. There was another bald man.
Did he wear a ski cap?
Can we not break the train of thought here? I'm trying to find out something here. Yul.
Yes, Yul is the Yul. You'll want to look that up.
That's pretty good, Mr. Ray.
Thank you.
The Yule log, I know about that.
I'll bet you do.
Yeah.
What's the Yule log? Is that something that do we need to know about? Is it something we have to be concerned with?
No, the Yule log is the traditional log.
Well, Phil, let's stop while we're ahead, because this one here is going to start going, yee.
The Yule log is the traditional log that is burned
by Yule people.
By the Yule people, is that what it is?
No, by the pagan people. I think Yule was part of that, wasn't it, Robert?
What are you asking me for, ma'am? Because your ancestors was from Africa.
Yeah, so what, ma'am?
They know more about the Yule log than anybody.
Africans don't know about the Yule log.
Why not? They's pagan.
No, they don't know about the Yule log.
Did they have the Yule log in Africa?
Man, I don't think they had a Yule log in Africa. They didn't have none of that stuff. And they had a religion, and it wasn't Christian, but it doesn't mean we're running around like a bunch of pagans burning a Yule log.
Well, I don't know anything about it because my people was Christian.
Yeah, isn't that nice of you to know that, bud? Isn't that great? Don't take it as an opportunity to start bagging on people, okay? If you don't mind. Because it's getting a little tiring around here. All right, so fantastic. Thank you very, very much for all of that. We were discussing, and we were going to get Harvey Wehrman on the line here. Harvey is, along with Frank Gray, Harvey's been in this town for a long time. Harvey's a defense attorney, but we're going to discuss with him Peter O'Toole. I know Peter O'Toole passed on. We mentioned Tom Laughlin. Joan Fontaine was the other one, Margaret. Do you want to...
Joan Fontaine was the sister of Olivia de Havilland, and between the two of them, the talent they had was beyond compare. I know that I'm being dramatic in the way that I'm reading.
That lazy mouth really gets me, man.
What do you mean, lazy mouth?
When you go, compare.
Margaret, it begins to grate on the nerves.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to give the life of Joan Fontaine the needed dramatic narration, shall we call it, that it requires. Joan Fontaine was a beautiful woman. She was the sister of Olivia de Havilland. She was on To Tell the Truth, and she was on What's My Line. Well, what are you looking at?
Is that it?
Is that it? What do you want me to say?
Margaret, there has to be more to the woman's life than that.
Well, I'm sure there is, but Phil's, I'm giving the highlights.
She's the sister of Olivia de Havilland.
No, I didn't say the sister of, I didn't spit it out, and I didn't bite my tongue. And I don't have a swollen purple tongue like those poor children that have to eat separately.
What are you talking?
Never mind. Phil, I know a little bit about it. Do you recall a certain day that I was at Magic Mountain for your rotten show and I was going to ride on Colossus?
Hold on for a minute. There's no sense in calling the show rotten.
Do you remember a certain day?
I remember when you were in line and you had your press pass and you wanted to get to the front of the car for Colossus.
Thank you. And I got in the front of the car and who was behind me? A bunch of blind kids. I took all kinds of trouble for that. So I know all about that sort of thing. I know all about that kind of grief, if you will. And I'm here to tell you, Phil, that I'm not being disrespectful to anyone. I said some kid with a big purple tongue... I don't know.
Well, then don't talk about it like that, okay?
In any event, what I had told them that day and what I have said to people... Don't do that, bud.
Roller coaster.
Turn it off.
All right, so okay, great. Thank you very much. I don't know where we're going. I know. Harvey Wehrman's going to join us here and talk about Peter O'Toole. And before we go to the break, I'd like to do this, bud, if you don't mind, so that... we can. Harvey, how are you doing? And welcome to the program. Harvey Wehrman joining us. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Phil.
So Peter O'Toole passed on. We had, I know, Margaret was talking about Joan Fontaine.
I wasn't even finished with Joan Fontaine.
Well, anyway, I can tell you a little bit about Joan Fontaine if you want.
Go ahead.
Well, she was the sister of Olivia de Havilland, and she was a very beautiful woman. And she was on What's My Line and To Tell the Truth.
That's exactly what I said, and Phil gave me a look like I was something that somebody spilled in a dumpster.
Well, I mean, Phil, those are the high points.
You gotta be kidding. There's gotta be more. You know, that's disrespectful. I know she was an actress. She was in a lot of movies.
Well, can you name a movie she was in?
She was in a lot of movies, man. Wasn't she in Gone with the Wind?
No, that was Olivia de Havilland.
Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte.
Olivia de Havilland.
She was in... Joan Fontaine was in some movies. She was in some damn good movies. But here's the thing about Joan Fontaine. She was in great movies and she did What's My Line and To Tell the Truth. So that's something to hang on your hat at the end of the day. That's a place to put your head when your hat is on your shoulders. I mean, not when your hat is on, but that's a place... Where do you usually hang your head after you've taken it out from underneath your hat? Well, that's something that Joan Fontaine can say she done did. I got to, if you don't mind, Phil, I need to sit down.
Go ahead, sit down. What you just said there is you do need to sit down.
Where she hangs her head or her hat?
What'd you say?
Where does she hang her head or her hat? In other words, Joan Fontaine had a great career.
Yes, she had a falafel. Oh boy.
A phenomenal career.
A phenomenal career. Now, the other guy, Tom Laughlin, I don't know anything about him. And Peter O'Toole, I don't know anything about him either, other than the fact that I saw that movie he did, Lawrence of Arabia. But you mentioned a movie called Murphy's War. Now, I saw that movie. That's a great movie.
Yeah, Murphy's War was cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was damn good.
What's that about? Murphy's War is this British... It's the story of a British sea captain who has lost... He's in the Navy. He's a British naval officer who's lost his ship to a German submarine. And he's in this town, in this village or this garrison or something, inside this little inlet in... Look, I think it's Africa, isn't it? Or something like that. Oh, it's the First World War. And this guy has lost his ship. He is really angry at losing his ship. He is extremely angry at the Germans that, you know, blew his ship out of the water. And now he's discovered a German submarine that's run aground in this inlet. And he has at his disposal this gigantic crane on a barge. And on the end of the crane is a torpedo that he pulled off of the sand, a torpedo that had not exploded, that had run up onto some sand from this German sub. He goes and he gets it. He hooks it on the end of this crane. He hoists it up. And with this big, lumbering, slow, spitting black smoke into the air barge, he begins to putt out into the middle of this inlet, where this German submarine has run aground and proceeds to attempt to drop this torpedo from this crane onto this submarine.
And you call that a good movie?
You agreed with me.
Yeah, but you just reminded me of what it was about. Now I remember it stunk.
That sounds boring.
No, it wasn't. It was fantastic. Are you crazy? It was fantastic.
What was the name of this movie?
Murphy's War. I loved it. Anyway, there was a Greek, I know, it was Greece. It was Greece, I think. And there was a guy, a Greek guy, who's a civilian, and he's helping Murphy. Murphy, played by Peter O'Toole, he's saying, you know, and Murphy wants him to help him. Come on, you gotta help me. He says, we're little men, Murphy, we're little men. No one will ever remember us, Murphy. We're just little men. I mean, and it's that moment where the guy says, no, I'm not. I'm gonna take this torpedo. And I'm telling you, it's a great movie. You gotta see it.
I don't know. Now, I remember enjoying it, but the way you're describing it sounds like it really sucked. So.
Well, I don't think so. All right, let's take a break. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back and close out this very, very eventful, this very strange, this very marvelous, this wild, wicked, and wonderful Monday night, man. And it's been all of that. Let's get some more of that holiday stuff up, bud, before we all flip, okay? What's this one?
It's called Far Away Christmas Blues or something.
Johnny Otis? Okay, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Christmas time.
Murphy. We're little men, Murphy.
Yeah, man.
I'm just kidding.
Don't want a lot for Christmas.
Playing her. You know that she's had pill problems.
Who cares? I think she's got a great voice. Mariah Carey. Alright, so I found this movie. Oh, I love this song. Don't you like this song?
Oh, she's too dramatic for my taste. Her and her big rear end and those tight dresses.
Well, you know, that's what I kills me about you women. You like the full figure thing. Oh, but if it's Mariah Carey, she looks like she's in sausage casing. Make up your mind, will you?
I think Mariah Carey is a lovely young woman. And,
wait a minute. Are you there, Frank?
Yeah, I'm right here. And my name isn't Frank. It's Harvey.
Oh, sorry.
Jesus. Yeah, this Mariah Carey, she's a pistol, man. She's a real handful. She was married to that poor slob, Tony Mottola. She took him for everything he had. Dumped him in a sewer. Now she's, I don't know who she's with. Keep an eye on her, man. She gets her mud hooks into you.
All right, I get it. All right, so anyway, welcome back to the program here, world famous Phil Hendry Show. So we're talking to Harvey Weierman here about the tremendous career of Peter O'Toole, an actor I really just thought was great. And we're talking about Murphy's War.
Yeah, okay. Now, Murphy's War, Phil, you know, now that I'm reminded of it, it was a good movie. It could have been better. It could have been better.
Who directed that?
Let me look here. Where is Margaret there?
No, she's not here. What happened to her?
Oh, let's go and get a cigar.
Hey, Margaret, where are you at?
I'm not here.
Well, I got Harvey on the line.
So?
You're not married to Harvey, are you?
No, I'm married to Frank, thank you very much, although I like you, Harvey.
Thank you, Margaret.
I'm not married to him.
It was directed by, the movie that we're talking about here was directed by, I don't know, man. Are you looking at this?
Am I looking at what?
Are you looking at IMDb?
No, I'm not looking at IMDb. I don't even know what IMDb is. I'm trying to remember who the director of that piece of crap was. It was, Peter Yates. Peter Yates directed it. Now, Peter Yates was a great action director. He was one of these guys who was a little bit star-crossed. He would do a great film, and then he'd do one that just stunk it out. Did a great film, and then one that stunk it out. But the movie that Peter Yates did that I think everybody will probably remember is Bullet. With Steve McQueen.
Oh, that's a movie that broke all kinds of precedents and it's iconic for the things that it created, huh?
Yeah, in Bullet, he had the first big chase movie, car chase. They had that car chase and they blew that guy up. So that was a hell of a movie. I don't think any. Then he did another one called The Deep, which was this movie that I told you about, the skin diving and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think those movies are boring as hell. I can't sit still for any of that garbage, but some people like them. He did another one that I liked a lot, a movie called The Friends of Eddie Coyle, and this was a gangster movie with Robert Mitchum and Peter Boyle. There's a couple of really good actors there. One of the last movies that Bob Mitchum ever did.
Friends of Eddie Coyle, I saw that. That was like a real street criminal, street crime kind of street thug movie.
Oh, yeah. That movie was about just what a bunch of losers these guys, if you live that life and you live that life old, and you're old enough living that life, it's a bad way to go. Then he did another, I don't know, a bunch of other movies. He did one that, called The Dresser. That I liked, but then he did a piece of a turd. He did a lot of turds,
He did a lot of turds.
Well, he was one of these guys. Peter Yates was a director that did some good ones. He did some bad ones. What do you want from me?
All right. He passed on in 2011, but this is one that I think he did that was fantastic. He did one called Mother, Jugs, and Speed.
Mother, Jugs, and Speed was from 1976. It was a... I think it had the guy, Bill Cosby, and Harvey Keitel. And Jugs was played by Raquel Welch. And I'm trying to think, it was these ambulance companies or something.
And this is a comedy?
Yeah, it was a comedy. Harvey Keitel and Bill Cosby, if you can imagine that. So here's the thing about that movie. And also Larry Hagman and L.Q. Joyner, some pretty good actors in it. But here's the thing about that movie. That's proof positive that Harvey Keitel could do comedy, and I think it was a pretty good movie. Now, some people thought the thing it smelled bad and it stunk it out, but I thought it was pretty good.
I'd have to rent that one, man, and get that on Netflix, Mother, Jugs, and Speed.
Yeah, with, what's his name, Bill Cosby and Harvey Keitel. But the movie you're talking about, the Murphy's War, that was a good one, and that was with a no-name cast other than Peter O'Toole. And it didn't have a very big cast. It had just the Greek guy and the Sterling Syphilis.
Who?
Sterling Syliphant.
Yeah, sorry. Sterling Syliphant was the play who he played with it. I mean, he was the he played the he.
All right. Thanks a lot, Harvey.
He's just going to keep on talking.
I know. He doesn't even know I hung up on him.
Well, someone's got to call him or go over to the house and tell him to hang the phone up.
All right. Do you want to do that?
I'll go over. I'll stop by.
This guy's going to keep on talking.
Are you trying to tell me this jackass will sit there talking on the phone and not even know you've hung up on him?
Sometimes, yeah.
I'll go over and I'll check on him.
Well, you got to do that, yeah, before anything. All right, that's it, folks, for tonight. So we're back. We're back and doing whatever we're doing. And it's a world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Hit up our website and our online store for your Thanksgiving, for your Christmas gifts.
Yeah, go buy your turkeys over there.
Right. See you later, folks. Yeah.